Mount Marathon is the Super Bowl of Alaskan sporting events, or the crown jewel, or the Olympics of Alaska. However you want to describe it, the race is a uniquely Alaskan mountain run. I'm Annie Fite. Each July 4th, competitors slog 3,022 feet up the mountain and then hurl themselves down to the finish line. Crowds line up in downtown Seward to cheer racers along. A new film documents last year's race and looks at why Mount Marathon holds such appeal in the state. We'll discuss it with a filmmaker and athletes on Talk of Alaska Statewide.
Today's program is underwritten in part by this member station of the Alaska Public Radio Network.
The Older Persons Action Group is the publisher of the monthly Senior Voice newspaper and the 2015 Directory for Older Alaskans. To order the directory or learn more, go to seniorvoicealaska.com. This message sponsored by OPAG.
Alaska Pacific University offers an affordable education, small class sizes, and life-friendly schedules designed to support your personal and professional goals. APU is still accepting applications for fall 2015. Find out about financial aid and the Promise Tuition Grant and apply online at alaskapacific.edu before Saturday, August 1st. This message sponsored by Alaska Pacific University. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of APRN, this station, or its underwriters.
Every year, hundreds of people enter a lottery for a limited number of spots in the Mount Marathon race. Some are elite athletes, others are just looking to test their own limits. The race is wildly popular in Alaska, but there's never been a feature-length film about it until now. The film is called 3,022 Feet, and it tells the story of the dramatic 2014 race. The movie premieres tomorrow night at the Beartooth Theater in Anchorage, where there will be two showings. And today on Talk of Alaska, we have the filmmaker, Max Romy, and two athletes who appear in the film, Najibi Quinn and Holly Brooks. Welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Hi. Thanks a lot.
And we want to hear from you. Do you have a story from the race? Is there a question you've always wanted to ask about why people are crazy enough to race Mount Marathon? Give us a call. The number is 1-800-478-8255. That's 1-800-478-TALK. If you're calling from Anchorage, please dial 550-8422. You can also email us at talk@alaskapublic.org. And Max, I wanted to start with you. Why did you want to make this film?
Well, I think the first time I ever saw this race, I was just baffled by why on earth people would do this. I was hiking up with a camera. You know, I just figured I might make some race about people hurrying themselves off mountains. It seemed interesting. And I got up there and it just, like, I'm a runner, but I couldn't understand why people would do something so dangerous. And so I decided to come and make a short video. So I was on the top of a mountain with the GoPro. I had my mom and some friends kind of catch the bottom of the mountain. I caught the record-breaking year, and I made a short video about it and got this huge response and kind of got a taste for what the passion behind this race is. And so the following year, I kind of wanted to come back and make a film that tried to capture that passion. And what I caught was absolute gold.
And the short film, that was in 2013.
Yeah.
And what records were broken that year?
The men's record is broken. So It was a 32-year-old record set by Bill Spencer, and it was broken by a huge amount of seconds, which the current record is actually that record right now. It's 42 minutes and 55 seconds.
Wow. And did it surprise you that nobody had made a film about it?
That's a huge reason why I did it, too. Yeah. You know, it's something that I was really interested in, and I looked up, and there was a couple of videos on YouTube, but nothing huge. And I think a lot of that is because mountain running films don't make a lot of money. You know, you're not going to see this stuff on Red Bull or ESPN because people just, you can't really sponsor that stuff. But what that means is that the reason people are doing this is not because of money, it's because of passion. And so that was something I was really drawn to.
And what was your initial goal when you started filming?
So the first time I filmed was just to kind of get a sense of this race. When I returned a year later, I had help. So my film partner and co-director, Natalie Fedok, flew up. And the idea was just kind of get the best story we could and really kind of try to capture what was behind this race. So we had more cameras, more funding, more time, and a better plan. But what we ended up capturing was like absolutely insane because these stories, you know, were something like even a fiction writer couldn't write. You know, we captured the closest race in the women's race history, you know, of 87 years. We got before and after interviews. We were kind of there for the whole thing. And so it was really just kind of one wild ride where the rest of the year we were just trying to make the film that this race deserved, which we finished about 3 weeks ago.
And Holly, you were part of that closest finish ever. Describe that. What was that like?
Well, I'd like to say that I did it just for Max and Natalie because I like them so much. But I didn't. It was extremely painful. I had a fairly large lead at the top. And some people even kind of turned away and they were like, oh, this is boring, you know, nothing's going to happen. And then, you know, I made my way down the mountain, and slowly but surely, Christy Marvin started picking off seconds, and those seconds turned into minutes. And once again, you know, Mount Marathon has always come down to the road for me. And it came down to the road, and I'm sure we'll see. I haven't seen the movie, but I'm sure we'll see the finish, and it's not pretty on my part. let's just say that. And afterwards, Max and Natalie came up to me, and they were like, thank you for, you know, making that storyline.
And how long is that section of road? Because I have seen the film, and it looks really long in the film. But I've never seen the race. Is it?
Oh, it feels like it's longer than the entire mountain, let me tell you. You know, I want to say, what is it, 3.5 or 4 minutes to get from the start line to the base of the mountain. But the finish line is actually further back down Main Street than the start line. So, you know, I should know the actual stats. I'm not one of those stat junkies to know exactly how far it is, but it felt like it took forever.
Najibi was talking about that in the film. Apparently there's like a little bit of a hill or something.
Oh, right. Yeah, Najibi, describe that.
I said there's a hill on the road?
Yeah,
you do.
Yeah, you are pretty concerned about it. Yeah, you said it goes up about a degree, but I guess it kind of like wipes you out.
I don't remember that. Oh, I can't wait to see this movie.
You did admit that nobody would really call it a hill, but that at that stage in the race, it feels like
a hill.
Well,
I mean, I've always considered myself a runner and someone that can actually have some decent speed on a road, even off the couch, if I was getting chased by something, but no. It's the first time when I hit that road, and I look as bad as Holly,
no, you don't.
If not worse, in this... in the video, and it's like the first time in my life I've been like, I've never ran a step in my life, like couldn't even go. I think it felt like maybe 10 minutes. I think it's probably a 5 minute section, but I've never felt so tied up and locked up in my stride. It was it's just an interesting feeling. It's kind of adds to the whole race experience, just to feel yourself not able to, you know, do something your mind tells you you should be able to do. So.
And you're doing it again this year. For why?
I was going to ask that question too, because Najibi, we should explain, last year was your first year doing Mount Marathon, even though you've for many years done mountain races in Alaska. Yeah. So maybe first off, just why did you decide to do Mount Marathon last year?
I kind of got sick of people asking me why I don't do the race. And I'm just like, you know what, I'm kind of sick of explaining myself, but I'm like Max, I'm a runner, and I, you know, went up there one time on my inaugural hike and said, oh yeah, right, this is insane, this is scary, this scares me, the shale, like you know, no fall cliffs, this is a whole other element. And I guess in my head I thought that I would never find any pleasure doing that, and so I got kind of talked into signing up and went for one training session with my training partner Barney Griffith, and so this is going to go either way. I'm either going to back out of the race or get stoked for it. And I just had a lot of fun. I had a lot more fun on my two training runs down there potentially than I did on the race day. But I'm going back this year to get a faster time. Just, you know, feel like I actually can put more into the race. Last year I learned a lot. It was definitely a rookie year. It's a little hot for me and a couple other factors. So I think I can have a better race this year.
And did you immediately, when you finished, did you immediately think, I'm coming back again next year?
No, I went and I peed in a bush and I didn't even stay to talk to anyone. And I went and jumped right in the ocean. I literally left the finish line and I had to go to the bathroom and I went and got right in the salt water. That was what I was thinking.
So how long did it take before you decided you did want to do it again?
I couldn't walk for a couple days. I spent some good time with Holly and Hope in her creek by her cabin and hobbling back and forth into the cold water. And thought, I'm never doing that again. And then I was like, oh man, my time. I'm like, I'm going back. This is ridiculous. Like, these girls just kicked my butt today. Like, yeah. So I got fired up pretty quickly to come back.
And we should say you did get third, so not very many girls.
No, I'm stoked. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. In that race, heck yeah, I'd be super happy to get top three again this year, of course. Yeah.
And Holly, why can you talk about the allure of the mountain? Why do you keep going back? Although you're not going back this year. We'll talk about that later, too. But
yeah, I'm really sad right now about that. But, you know, Mount Marathon has played a huge role in my Alaskan life and my life as an athlete. I moved up here 11 years ago, and the first time I saw the race, I went, I think I watched it halfway point, and my opinion or my view was like, man, they call this mountain running, but these people are not running. They are going so slow. And, you know, it's really a lot harder than it looks. It's really a lot more taxing than it looks. And, you know, I'm involved in the sport community up here. I started off as a high school ski coach and just decided, hey, I'll enter the lottery. And I actually got into the race. I'm one of the very few people who get into the race via the lottery on their first try. And
lucky.
I was actually in Hawaii when, you know, the list came out, and it was my birthday. And so, you know, my birthday present was, hey, you know, a start in Mount Marathon. That was 2008. Okay. And so I had that first race. I had a really fun time, a good experience, went into it with no pressure. And then after that, I just kind of got the bug. And then 2009 was my kind of my epic year, where I was having a really good race, first to the top, first to right above the cliffs, and then essentially passed out right in front of the emergency room. So that race kind of set the tone for the rest of my athletic life. I haven't seen the documentary yet, but I know I did a lot of talking and interviews about kind of the epiphany, I guess, I had in the emergency room where, you know, I had this adrenaline pumping, just this really competitive spirit, just this love of sport. And that's kind of where I decided that I wanted to try to make the 2010 Olympics at Mount Marathon, of all places. Why should, you know, a race like that be a catalyst for, you know, a completely different sport and a completely different arena? But it is, you know, and that's kind of why people call it the Olympics of Alaska. It really is. And so, you know, that just the history behind my personal experience with the race, you know, our my save the date magnet for, you know, my wedding was from the finish line. I was engaged in 2008, my rookie year, like 2 days before the race, and we announced at the race. And then, you know, the 2009 race, and then I was married a week later. Lots of fun stories about that. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, just every year, it's been kind of the main part of the summer. And it's played a huge role in my life here in Alaska.
So what did you think when Max first approached you about the idea of being a part of this film?
I was really excited that someone was going to document it. And I think, you know, the race, it's so hard to get into. There are so many people that want to do it, but there are so few spots. And, you know, that's what makes it so popular. But people come down and they watch the race, but it's really hard to be a spectator at the race. It's, you know, you kind of have to decide, where do I want to watch? Do I want to watch the start? Do I want to watch the cliff, the roots, halfway point, or, you know, be one of the few people that go to the top? But, you know, wherever you go to watch, you can't see what's going on everywhere else on the mountain. So I was really, really excited that Max and Natalie contacted us and decided to kind of take it on. And I had seen the video that he made, 42:55, about Eric Strable and the record. And I knew that he did really, really, really high quality work. So I was just stoked that he wanted to take it on. And it all went from there.
And how about you, Najibi? Did you have a similar reaction?
No, I was pretty nervous that I was going to be getting interviewed in my living room. And yeah, it was, I haven't, I'm just kind of new to this. I mean, Holly's, you know, been competing for years and has done a lot of interviews. So it was different for me to have like a little, like a film crew in my house and follow me around. And so now I'm excited and also nervous to see what they put on this.
Oh, you think you're nervous? Like, we were nervous. It's just like cold calling Olympians. Runners. Like, how do you think we felt? We're just two 20-year-olds. Like, who are we? Yeah. I'm glad you felt the same way, but man.
We totally bite, by the way.
No, I'm excited, too. The other aspect, I mean, I really look up to a lot of these local athletes. And even though I haven't done every race, you know, like, you know, Mount Marathon, I'm new to. And even things like Matt Peak and other races, it's still... you know, I have a lot of kind of local heroes, I guess, and people that I really admire. And so it'll be neat to hear just a few kind of backstories and find, you know, learn a little bit more about the other characters in this film. And yeah, I feel really fortunate that my first year was, you know, happened to be this year with the film. And I think it's great to see kind of more aspects of it. You know, I know the race has a lot of history, but this is kind of neat to get to see just a whole different side of it. And yeah, and I think it's great someone's doing a film. Like Holly said, it is the most difficult spectator-friendly race. It's almost impossible, you know. Right.
Yet it still draws thousands of Alaskans because just the atmosphere.
And the energy.
And, you know, those couple seconds or, you know, the 2 minutes that you do get to see are just magical, you know, and so that's why people go.
And Max, can you just talk about how you went about making this film? Because there were lots of cameras involved, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I guess I should kind of talk a little bit about, too, like what made us make this film to some extent. And I think Holly and Najibi touched on it really well in that it's like, you know, it's kind of the passion that draws people toward it. I think that's really what kind of tied all this together. Mount Marathon's just a giant rock, but it's absolutely covered in all these stories. And, you know, Holly's story about being married and you know, kind of like tying to the Olympics, and Najibi had those first couple interesting times, and, you know, multiply that times thousands and thousands of stories, and this isn't like a mountain anymore. This is like this is a piece of people's lives. And so that kind of passion is really what kind of got us initially tied in, and that's what's tied all this along, I think, is, you know, these two especially were willing to like let us into their house and then interview them and suggest this stuff. And the mountain running community like helped fund this. And, you know, Natalie Fadok, not a runner, but just absolutely captivated by this. And now we have, an excellent press guy, Dylan Green, and he's doing a lot of this because, you know, there's like this passion. It stretches so much beyond just the 3,022 feet of Mount Marathon. It kind of hits everybody, which is really cool. Now, how we actually made the thing, and like you said, it's very tough to get. And so what we were trying to do is give people an idea of the passion behind this race by putting them in the shoes of the runners. And we were fortunate that we kind of grew up in an age of some really good technology. GoPros are like, you know, stupid small now. 10 years ago, you wouldn't have been able to make a movie like this. So the first step was just getting the stories. So we went to all the athletes' houses, kind of like picked as many people as we could. You could literally pick anybody who does this race and come up with a fantastic story. We had to limit it to about 13. And then of those 13, we had to chop it down to 9 because, you know, you can't tell every story. And so we found the people, we went to the houses, got some amazing interviews, and really kind of got a taste of what this race was like. And then on race day, we had about 20 cameras, 13 people. The number keeps on changing every time I say it, but, you know, it was a lot. It was a lot of cameras.
Yeah.
And kind of covered this mountain and really, really wanted to catch every single aspect of it because you never know in this race, like, where the exciting part is. You know, there's a cliff, but Ricky and Eric both fell, like, right below the cliff. We don't have any footage of that, unfortunately, because nobody is there. You can't catch every piece, but we wanted to get as close as we could. We used Steadicams, GoPros, and really kind of wanted to get from every angle so you could get a sense of what the athletes were talking about. And then after the race finished, you know, the most, honestly, in my opinion, the most exciting race I've ever seen. After it was finished, we then went back to the athletes and kind of, you know, it was like, what does this mean? There's only one winner in Mount Marathon, but something really kind of big that we understood is that everybody who does this race can win in their own mind and you know, for themselves. Like, we all have the subtitle of our movie is we all have mountains to climb. And that's true because Mount Marathon isn't just a mountain. It's not just the terrain. Like, even to get there, you have to overcome your own struggles, which has been really incredible to kind of get an insight into what some of the struggles were, because I think this is, people are going to be able to relate to this, not just because they're runners or not just because they live in Alaska, but because they're people, you know, and right. we all do have those mountains to climb, and this movie kind of touches on that.
And beyond that, you also get spectacular footage of Mount Marathon, and was that done on a, through a plane or how?
Yeah, actually, Andy Schaefer, I'm not sure if I can say last names on the radio, but oops. He has a connection. He lives in Seward, and you know he's like, oh yeah, I was contacting people about needing a ride in a plane up to get some of this amazing footage, and he's like, yeah, yeah, I'll take you up. And so that's just like one example of some like the incredible generosity of this community. We tried to raise as much money as possible to make a film like this. We did a crowdfunding campaign for about $45,000. We raised $8,000, but we were still able to make an incredibly polished, incredibly high quality film because the people in, you know, this community in town were the ones who stepped up and actually made it happen.
And you do have footage too, not just on Mount Marathon, but on other mountain running spots in Alaska. Where else did you film?
Oh, everywhere. I mean, you know, I'm a mountain runner. Like I think, you know, I probably run with a camera more often than not. Mm-hmm. So, you know, O'Malley, Flat Top, Deep Lake. I love heading up to some of those spots. I have a lot of friends in this film who I kind of drag along and make them run repeats on this stuff. My sister and her friends are well familiar with my cameras. So, I have a wealth of running footage to work with, which kind of helped out with a lot of the B-reel. But, it's Mount Marathon is really kind of the pinnacle of Alaskan mountain running, it seems. I'm not sure how Mount Marathon got chosen, really. But, this everybody who runs in Alaska, I really kind of wanted to tie all that in because Seward isn't the only gorgeous spot in the state.
Right. Well, I want to invite callers to join us because we really want to hear. We know there are lots of Mount Marathon stories out there. Like Max said, there are 9 in the film, but there's a lot more out there. So call us. Tell us your crazy descent story on Mount Marathon or why you finally decided to run it. The call-in number is 1-800-478-8255. That's 1-800-478-TALK. If calling from Anchorage, you can dial 550-8422. You can also email us at talk@alaskapublic.org, and I will read your story on the air. So, Holly, let's talk about why did you decide not to run this year?
Oh, it was such a hard decision. And, you know, as the race gets closer and closer, I'm just feeling this huge sense of loss, which is really tough. But, you know, there's so much hype about Mount Marathon in this community. But first and foremost, I'm a cross-country skier. So, you know, I'm a mountain runner, but that comes secondary to my main sport. And this past year, I took on a new challenge, and that was racing ski marathons. And so last spring, I essentially resigned or retired, whatever you want to call it, from the U.S. ski team and the World Cup, but decided I wanted to stay on the international stage. So instead of Mount Marathon, I did what I call a marathon of marathons. And I spent 5 months traveling all over the world, racing long-distance ski racing. So I did 11 ski marathons in 10 countries, and my last one was in Siberia in April, and I didn't return to the country until April 14th. And I was exhausted. You know, yeah. I mean, I think you probably needed a spatula to scrape me off the floor or off my couch. And, you know, after that many months of competing and having to be, you know, physically, mentally, and emotionally sharp, I was just so tired. And after a season like that, you need minimally 6 weeks of recovery. So take April 14th and add 6 weeks, and you're at May 31st. Now, you know, people think that Mount Marathon is in the middle of the summer, but July 4th comes so fast. And if you take the day I got back, you add 6 weeks of recovery, you have 4.5 weeks. And that is not enough time to get ready for this race. You know, it's not enough time to be competitive and to be where I want to be. And so it really really was a hard decision, but I know it's the right one for safety reasons. Because you know I'm capable of a lot, and I'm willing to push myself to that edge. And when you're willing to push yourself that hard on a mountain like this, there can be some dire consequences. So I just knew I didn't have time to get ready. It was a long winter, and I'm really heartbroken to miss the race. It's going to be an epic year. I think it has the potential to be a record-setting year for the women, which is just really, really tough for me to think about not being a part of that race. But I know it's the right decision, even though it was a really, really, really hard decision.
And why does it have the potential to be a record setter for the women?
You know, the field's deep. I think it's going to be a great race. We have Najibi, you know, we have Christy Marvin coming back. She just showed her fitness in Bird Ridge this past weekend. Of course, we have Allie Ostrander coming up from the junior race. It's going to be her senior race debut, but do not underestimate her. You know, she is the fastest runner in the country right now, you know, for high school. And we saw what she was capable of last year. She won the entire junior race, you know, in a co-ed field. And that's incredible. And then we also have Emily Forsberg, who is a Solomon Pro athlete, and she's coming up. She has a, you know, she has a lot of results behind her name. And so I think when you get that depth of a field, you're going to have girls pushing each other. The pace is going to be fast. And then it's you know, potential for a record. So, you know, anything could happen. You never know what the weather is going to be. That's always a huge component of this race. Is it going to be wet and slippery, or is it going to be hot and humid and miserable? You know, so that's the wild card. But that's another reason why this race is so epic.
And which is worse for the weather, wet and slippery or hot? Hot.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Why is that so hard?
Well, personally, I can only maybe speak for myself. I just don't do well in heat. I never have. And last year, it's no matter how fit I could have been or how I could have, you know, planned on this is where I want to go to this point and how hard I want to push it here and back off there. You get in those trees and it was like the most suffocatingly hot thing. It was like, you know, and same with this year. It's like I can be more fit, more prepared, spend more time on the mountain, but it's the one race. There's so many variables, you know. I personally hope it's a nasty, wet, rainy, bring that on. I want it to be.
Alaskans will always take their rain deluge over the sun, right?
Yeah. It's an interesting mountain, too. And I think it's something about it. It is just hot. There's no air there. It's a different. It's suffocating. And we go out and we train. But I think it doesn't seem like it gets the same nice bit of airflow that the ridges do that I spend a lot more time on. So every time I go there, I'm so humbled. Every time I go just to do like a hike, you know, which is just a couple times now, I forget how steep it is and how hot it is.
Well, you know, the first half, and I know I talked about this in the interviews, I will say that Najibi and I have not seen the movie, and we're kind of waiting for tomorrow, which is pretty nerve-wracking,
right.
But I know. No, kind of on purpose. But, you know, the first half of the mountain, it's literally a tunnel of vegetation. There's no air, and, you know, you're sweating up a storm, and there's nowhere for that heat to go. And then after you cross the halfway point, you are out in black shale, and it holds the heat, and it just radiates, and you're going straight up. And so, you know, in 2009, I sweat a lot anyway, but it was really hot, and I basically lost all the moisture from my body. And then you run down 3,000 feet, and that eccentric pounding in a body that has no moisture in it, my muscles literally just ripped. And my eventual diagnosis was exertional rhabdomyolysis. And if you look at the literature, you know, in the medical journals and stuff, most people get that from car crashes and from playing football, you know, in the South.
Wow.
And so here I am getting it from Mount Marathon, and it was because of the heat. And so, you know, the race for us, it's less than an hour. And I normally wouldn't think about needing feeds, like needing sustenance and you know, liquids in a race that short. But absolutely. Last year I had at least 6 feeds, you know, so I had friends that were kind enough to, you know, hand me, you know, sports drink or pour water on my head going up and down. And this wasn't planned, but my husband actually gave me a feed at the base of the cliff with just the road to go. And, you know, with the small margin,
you know, needed that.
Of the finish, I mean, every single one of those counted. And I'm so glad he was there. So, you know, people don't think of Alaska as being a hot place, but in this race, it is just brutal.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we need to take a quick break here, but we'll hear more about the film 3,022 Feet and Mount Marathon as Talk of Alaska continues.
Talk of Alaska comes to you from APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network, and is made possible with support from ConocoPhillips, investing in oil and gas production and creating jobs and business opportunities for Alaskans. ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company. If you're ready to quit tobacco, Alaska's Tobacco Quit Line can help with free confidential coaching and support services through the telephone and online. Now introducing Text to Quit, a way to help you use medications correctly, manage urges, and prevent relapse all from your mobile phone. Call 1-800-QUIT now or visit AlaskaQuitLine.com for more information. This message sponsored by Alaska's Tobacco Prevention and Control Program.
Welcome back to Talk of Alaska. I'm Annie Feit, and today we're talking about Mount Marathon and the film 3,022 Feet, which is premiering at the Beartooth tomorrow night. That show is sold out, but there we'll hear later there's a few more shows in the works for later in the week. We also want to hear from you. Please call in with your Mount Marathon stories. We know they are out there. Are you a middle-of-the-pack athlete who loves this race and does it every year? We want to hear from you. Do you have a question about training for the race? We have two experts here who can talk about that. Give us a call, 1-800-478-8255. That's 1-800-478-TALK. If you're calling from Anchorage, you can dial 550-8422 or email us at talk@alaskapublic.org. And let's talk about that training aspect because, you know, we've talked about how different this is. How do you train for Mount Marathon? Najibi, what?
Looking at me.
Yeah.
So what I do, I don't know that I'm training specifically for that because I have a kind of a long race season this year that's going to go from started with some ski racing, then it'll shift to mountain racing, then it'll shift to bike racing, and then wrap back into some running races kind of in the fall and even hopefully through like November. So for Mount Marathon, I guess for me, realizing I was going to do this race last year, I just said, oh, I have to get to that mountain because I haven't done the whole mountain since I think I did it in 2003 with Keegan. So I feel like I'm probably the most, I'm like the least experienced person here and the Brad Perkowskis and the old time mountain dudes are like, you got to go down there a lot. You got to run that downhill, you know, 12 times, get your legs in shape. And I don't have that kind of time. So for me, you know, just I went twice last year and I've gone twice this year and I'll go Thursday with some training partners. And so I think really you just have to be on the mountain and get to know the mountain, get to know kind of the flow and motion that you'll need on the downhill and to get off the shale into the gut. And so, and also the steepness of the ascent, it's hard to kind of copy that here. I mean, there's a few places, Lazy Mountain, Peak 3, but nothing really prepares you like just going down there and getting your hands on your knees at that grade and figuring out your, you know, your pace.
So it's just a different level of steepness.
Yeah. So I would say in my everyday, you know, in my everyday training, I'm kind of doing a little everything. I'm a multi-sport athlete. So, you know, like, you know, a little bit of the local races, mountain biking, add in some trail runs, add in some core work, and then just try to spend, you know, at least three or four times on that mountain specifically for the race.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like you can train. You know, I haven't run the race, but I feel like you can train on anything. You just find a wall and try to run up and then fall down it. That's about the same thing.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we're really lucky living here in Anchorage in that the Chugach are our back doors, or it's out our back door. And there are lots of mountains here to run up, and they aren't Mount Marathon, but you can find that grade out here. And, you know, what is interesting about this race is some people are aiming for it so much that they are training on incline treadmills all winter. So you can actually get these treadmills that go up to 40 degrees, and people are hiking on those, throughout the winter and throughout the spring to kind of get their hiking muscles in shape. But the hard part, I think, is the downhill. You know, you can find the places to train the uphill here. Najibi talked about, you know, Peak 3 or Backside of Flat Top. I've done a fair amount of training out in Hope on Hope Point. There's a really steep pitch that's good for training there. But the downhill is what's hard to train, because that shale that can be forgiving at some points. It's almost like, people call it a controlled fall, but it's kind of like plunge stepping or running through snow almost. You're kind of hitting the surface with your heels and then running from there on out. But like Najibi said, it's really important to get down to the mountain. And especially the lower part, when you're going through the waterfall, you want to have the specific knowledge there. And, you know, the top competitors, we all go down there and you try to memorize it. And it's almost like rock climbing moves. Like you have certain places and it's like, I know I want my foot to go there and then there and then there. And so it's kind of like a choreographed, I won't say dance, because it is, you know, I mean, maybe Eric Strabel is that graceful, but I'm certainly not. So the specificity definitely comes into it. But, you know, you're seeing the treadmills and, you know, the trips down there and people just really getting into it.
I've heard Matt Novakovic talked about it, and he compared it to kind of throwing yourself out of a bus going 45 miles an hour. That's how he said it was, kind of going from the top to the bottom.
How do you train for that?
Well, let me tell you, no. I did not suggest that. But, you get people like Denali Foldiger, Eric Strabel, and Flip Foldiger, and, they grew up on this mountain.
Yeah.
Like, haven't run as well down as they can, but that's because, I mean, they're just like born for this stuff. It's incredible just like watching what they can do. Christy Marvin trains specifically on the downhills, which shows. And it was really exciting to kind of get a sense of all these training patterns. I think Natalie and I might have a better sense than anybody, at least for this upcoming race, of kind of what people are capable of, because we spoke to so many athletes about, you know, the training and what they did and these really detailed conversations. But I think the one thing that you can see across all of this is just this huge amount of pressure, but not from other people, but from themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You have like the one thing I feel like all these athletes have in common is they want to push themselves as hard as they can. And I think that's not just the top tier of athletes. I think that's this entire race, which is one of the things that makes it so exciting, is whether you're trying to go in first or like first in your age group or just finish the thing in like under 2 hours. Like these people are pushing a huge amount of pressure on themselves and succeeding, which is really exciting.
And Holly, you've been on the start line of Mount Marathon 7 times? 6 times?
I think it's 6.
6. And you've also been on the start line of the Olympics, which is like more pressure.
You know, that's a crazy question. And, you know, the Olympics, like 2014, we were all the way over in Sochi, Russia. So, you know that hundreds of millions of people are watching you, but they're not right there. And in Seward, I mean, it's everyone. It's your coach. It's your husband. It's the kids you coach. It's your friends. You know, it's everyone watching you. And so in some odd ways, there's almost more pressure, at least locally, for Mount Marathon than there are for the Olympics, which sounds crazy. But, you know, even, today or yesterday, I'll be in the grocery store and I'll have 3 or 4 people stop me and ask me about the race or why I'm not doing the race or ask me for a training tip. And so it just really infiltrates this area. And that kind of creates this environment that is really exciting, but you know, you can take the excitement the wrong way if you're not careful.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we have a caller on the line. Chester is in Sitka. Hi, Chester.
Hello there.
Do you have a story for us or a question?
Yes. Firstly, thank you for this show. It's very exciting. My wife is from Kenai. I was raised in Florida, and my background is surfing. I've never run in a flat race, much less a mountain race, but we moved up to Alaska. My wife returned to her home in 2005, and I had a contract with the city of Seward, and there were times where she would be at her parents' house for a couple weeks at a time, and so out of sheer boredom, I started hiking the mountain. And I heard about the race, and I thought, you know, I think I could do this. And I started getting into it and eating green, leafy foods, a lot of spinach, and I did pretty good my first race. I got into the race, and my first race was 2008, and I think I was around an hour and 19 minutes. And then sort of the next year, I'm thinking, you know, I'm from Florida, and I know heat. I want it to be hot because I'm going to really just get this race down. And, well, it was hot. And I remember going up, and it was like going up a tunnel, and everything was dry. There hadn't been much rain that year. And it was just dry and dusty, and the trail was literally lined with runners. There was a guy, he had his head in this girl's lap, and she was petting him, and his leg was shaking. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, I can't believe it. And by the time I got to the top, I had the chills. And so I just hung out at the top for a little bit and got myself under control and then jumped in the snowpack and slid down. And then I ran it the following year. But, I'll never run it again. But it was the time of my life. And I've always looked for documentaries on this race. And until now, I haven't heard of any. And I am so excited to get that documentary and get a hold of it and show it to my children and talk about it for years to come. But thank you guys so much. I have all the respect for those runners who I mean, they break, even if you break an hour, that is, I cannot imagine breaking an hour. And so congratulations to all of you, and thank you so much for your show today.
Well, thanks, Chester. And yeah, Max, why don't you talk about if somebody is in Sitka, what are the options for them to see this film?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, you know, I'm a 21-year-old, so it's a little hard to kind of organize all this. And although I do have an amazing support group helping me out, you know, my mom and my sister, and, you know, like, even the exchange student is doing a huge amount for, thank you, Mattel, for all this stuff. You know, being able to kind of get this out there, that's the hard part. Making the movie is the easy part, I've heard. So the premieres are sold out, unfortunately. If anybody doesn't have tickets, those are going to be a blast.
But that's in Anchorage.
That's in Anchorage. That's the Beartooth. We also have, we just added three more shows on the weekend. So those are going quick. But now there's a Friday show at 6:30 and a Saturday and a Sunday at 5:30 at the Beartooth. We're also going to have a Seward show.
Of course.
And that's, we don't have too many tickets to that, but it's really important to us to kind of get into the community and be there. And so that's down at the Ray Building on the 1st of July. And you can check out 3022ft.com, 3022ft.com for more information about that. And then finally, at the race itself, we're going to be selling DVDs. Now, we can't sell DVDs online because film festivals don't like that at all. So we're only going to be selling these things in person. So there's an opportunity for a lot of people to get those there.
So Chester maybe could get somebody to buy him a DVD at the race.
That's, yeah, you're going to have to kind of MacGyver it. Or, you know, if you write us a good sob story online, we can consider it. But I did want to speak to something you said. I mean, you know, what something especially Flip mentioned that's incredible is that, you know, Holly and Ajibi are killing themselves on this mountain. Like, I have no doubt that you're going through an extraordinary amount of pain. But what's really cool is that, you know, everybody is kind of experiencing that. And something Flip pointed out, which is really, you know, insightful, is that these top guys and women who are finishing are doing it in, you know, 45 minutes, you know, 50 minutes. But they're working, you know, really hard. The people who are doing an hour are working just as hard and going through just as much pain, but they're doing it for another 10 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes. And how incredible those stories are. You know, right. And as you get older, you're not going to be as fast, but you're still doing the same amount of work. You're just having to do it for longer. And how kind of incredible that is, you know, especially the women's record. Like, the women's race gets, you know, not a quarter of the recognition the men's does. Theirs gets streamed, the men's gets broadcasted.
That's going to start changing.
I hope so. Mm-hmm. But, you know, because it's incredible when you think about it, like, because the women are working just as hard as the men. They're doing everything the men are doing, but they're doing it for 10 minutes for longer. Like, if anything, that's the record that matters. And, you know, Nancy Pease set that over 20 years ago, which is amazing to, like, for something like that to stand so long. And I'm really hoping that this documentary kind of gives an insight into, like, you know, what those struggles mean, because those deserve to be recognized just as much as everybody else's.
And you do talk about that in the film. Do you, Najibi or Holly, want to react to that? I mean, do you feel like the women's race doesn't get the recognition it deserves?
I think that there's always recognition, but I think Max touched on it, the fact that ours is streamed online, but the men's race is live on TV, and that's on multiple stations. And, you know, that's hurtful. That's extremely hurtful. And, you know, it's 2015. Aren't we beyond that? You know, I think that the women's race is exciting. You know, I think the documentary touches a lot on the women's race. And so, you know, I'm really thankful to Max and Natalie for kind of trying to straighten out some of that inequity. But I would really ask the local TV stations to think twice about what they're doing and the airtime that they give these races. And the women's race is going to be incredibly exciting. Like Max said, we work just as hard as the men. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes women aren't as competitive, they won't talk themselves up as much as men do sometimes, but we are just as competitive and we're just as fierce. And, you know, I think that if there was a live broadcast of the women's race too, people would really latch onto it and enjoy it.
Yeah. And Najibi, you said you think that's changing. Is that a hopeful statement?
I hope to see the changes. I thought there'd be quite a bit of coverage last year, and, you know, for when I got to see what came out after the race and talk with my family in Colorado, what they were able to see and realize that the women's race is just still, you know. And like I said, I'm, you know, haven't been following Mount Marathon every year. This is kind of, you know, it's kind of just new to this whole thing and how much coverage it gets. I don't usually watch the race, honestly, in Seward, and I have, you know, once or twice, but I was like, really? We got that amount of coverage?
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, everything Holly just touched on, I'm just right there with her, like, 100%, so.
And, you know, to be fair to the news stations, you know, filming something like that is extraordinarily hard work. I have so much appreciation for how to put a broadcast like that together. I mean, they're helicoptering up cameras. You know, there's poor guys with, like, massive, you know, radio discs just walking up this mountain and kind of, you know, being there for it. But in the same way, you know, if you're going to recognize one story, you know, if you're going to appreciate the sport, appreciate it for what it really is, which is so much more than the men's race.
If you're already out there with the gear, just, you know, we're out there.
And I am excited, you know. I mean, you're looking at potentially one of the most competitive years ever. Last year, how many girls went under an hour? Is it 9?
I don't know.
Quite a few.
That's huge, you know? Yeah. I mean, it's only getting faster. And so when you have a 20-year-old record on the line, you know, I'm sure Nancy Pease would be happy to see it go. But it's, you know, that's something that I'm so excited for. And the men's race is going to be just as exciting with Kilian Jarnet, potentially Max King and Ricky coming up against Eric. But, you know, I think the whole event needs to be recognized. And that's one of the things I'm kind of hoping to do with this film, is kind of show everybody's story, not just one of the most exciting races.
Okay, we need to take one last quick break, but we'll hear more about the film 3,022 Feet and Mount Marathon as Talk of Alaska continues.
Talk of Alaska comes to you from APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network, and is made possible with support from First National Bank Alaska, where local knowledge and experience make the difference. We believe in Alaska. Learn more at fnbalaska.com. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Garrison Keillor, one of the most beloved radio hosts and acclaimed humorists, is coming to the Alaska State Fair with his America the Beautiful tour on Sunday, August 30th at 3 p.m. This 2.5-hour show will feature Prairie Home Companion classics with piano master Richard Dworsky, sound effects man Fred Newman, and other special guests. Tickets at alaskastatefair.org. This message sponsored by the Alaska State Fair.
Welcome back to Talk of Alaska. I'm Annie Feit. We're talking about Mount Marathon and the film 3,022 Feet, which is premiering at the Beartooth tomorrow night. Hopefully you already have tickets because they are sold out. There's going to be a few more shows later this weekend. And I'm here with Najibi Quinn and Holly Brooks, two athletes who have raced Mount Marathon. And Max Romy is the filmmaker for 3,022 Feet. And just before we went to break, you brought up Killian Jornet, which everybody is talking about this year. Somebody tell me, who is this guy and why is he important?
Well, Killian Jornet, he's the Spaniard. He's also known as he's known as one of the best mountain runners in the world, potentially the best. Young guy, extraordinarily talented. I've been watching his films, for years. And he's going to be coming to Mount Marathon along with Emily, Ricky Gates, who's returning again, and then potentially Max King. Nobody really knows about Max King, but, one of the other best trail runners in the world. So, extremely high credentials. And I think a lot of people are really interested in this because he's gone around the world just destroying records. That's what he does. He's an animal. And so people are really interested to kind of see how he stacks up against Mount Marathon. As Alaskans, we're really excited because this is this thing we work really hard at. We go and we just throw our best at this mountain, and the results we get are from Alaska. We haven't really had many foreign runners come in and really give this thing a test. So, maybe Killian's going to destroy the record by 2 minutes, and, we've been trying hard, but he's the best in the world. But I think a lot of people think that he's going to kind of trip up on this mountain. It's not something to take lightly, and I think people are really kind of excited to see how he stacks up against our mountain.
And do you know if he's training here? I mean, is he going, as everybody says, you need time on the mountain. Is he going to have that time?
He and Ricky are coming up for a couple of days. They're filming a short with the African Attachment, which is the Solomon film crew. They make gorgeous videos for Solomon Running TV. And so he'll be in Seward for about a week. Or so. Apparently, according to Ricky, you need a lot more time than that, so we'll see. However, he is also known as the best mountain runner in the world. So, that could go to his credit.
I think people might also recognize his name because he was in the Alaskan media earlier for breaking the speed record on Denali. So,
right.
his name, carries some pretty heavy credentials.
I'll put it out there. If anyone wants to meet Killian in person, he'll be at Skinny Rave on Monday. I think he's talking from 6 to 7.
This coming Monday?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That'll be.
Is Emily going to be there too?
I would assume so.
Yeah.
And how much do you think this has the potential to change the race? I mean, do you feel like he might set the stage for a lot more outside and international runners coming?
I think it's getting the athletes really fired up. I think, now it's kind of like we're glomming together and, and Christine Marvin and I talked, it's like, let's keep this local. We're going to work. We are going to kick some foreign butt,
Nice.
And I'm sure the guys are thinking the same thing. Maybe they're a bit more nervous about it. I'm excited. I always love having more competition. I can't speak to the men, it'll be in the top, but I think they don't want someone just rolling in here a week before a race on a mountain he's never seen and, potentially, beating, winning, breaking records, any of that. I think it's going to be a very fast year.
Yeah.
I think we have some local talent to really put Killian in his place also.
That's
I'm sure he's a nice
first.
Guy. I don't not like him just so I can put that on the air. I'm sure he's lovely.
Say it in Spanish. Yeah.
Okay, we have another caller, Jake from Anchorage. Hello, you're on Talk of Alaska.
Hello. Yeah, I just think that the women's race would just be so much better if it was just more action-packed like the men's.
What do you mean?
If you just see the guys, they're just running full blast, and it just looks a whole lot cooler.
I can kind of speak to that, Jake. I mean, the men do tend to take the more falls. They do finish this race, 5 minutes faster than the women. However, when you look at it, Christy Marvin made up over a minute on Holly on that downhill. She had one of the fastest times of the entire day.
And she fell six times on her downhill.
I think a lot of it is, you know, what people see. You know, maybe you saw the men's race and you were able to see a lot of that intense mm-hmm. action. That could have been because, you know, a lot of the women's race, if you, maybe you watched it streamed, but the only highlights that were really shown of that was kind of Holly's graceful finish. And so, yeah, I think a lot of that is the lack of coverage, is, you know, people aren't seeing those insane risks that people are taking, men and women alike.
And are the crowds there for the men's and women's race? Do you have the same?
There are great crowds mm-hmm. for the women. You know, it's definitely a little bit bigger for the men, but we have great crowds, you know, especially when you come off the cliff. There are just thousands of people down there. And, you know, there's a moment where my route, I go into the trees, and it's almost like this moment of silence before this eruption of cheering. And it's really exciting.
Yeah, last year... a big thanks to anyone who was on the mountain during our race and putting, you know, water on us. And that was, you know, it would have been horrible not having people there interested in our race and out there taking their time and supporting us up, you know, the whole way up and down. It's essential.
Yeah. And what do you eat the night before the race?
Dust. Just prepare yourself for it.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, I think running, for one, it depends on the weather. But I know for running as compared to skiing, I definitely like to have a little bit more of an empty feeling before a ski race. I can eat a lot more. I know that last year I was trying to hydrate really well. So you try to hydrate, but you also try to not overhydrate. And I'm a big sweater. So, you know, I was definitely paying attention to electrolytes. You know, there are these Cliff shot blocks that are margarita flavored and no alcohol, of course, but they have three times the sodium. So I was snacking on some of those. But I really like to have not a whole lot in my stomach when I'm going that hard up a mountain and that hard down a mountain.
Okay, and actually, I think we need to wrap up here. This has been such a fun hour. Thanks to my guests, Najib Quinn, Holly Brooks, two athletes, Mount Marathon athletes, and Max Romy, filmmaker of 3,022 Feet, which premieres at the Beartooth tomorrow night. I also want to say that Alaska Public Media is working to acquire the film, and we hope to air it in August. We had a listener question about that. So tune in August to your TV in across the state, and you should be able to hear the film then, or see the film. I'm on radio, so I'm thinking, listening. Our engineer today is Dave Waldron, and Josh Edge was on the phones. I'm Annie Feit. Thank you.
Talk of Alaska is made possible by this member station of the Alaska Public Radio Network. Alaska Pacific University offers a distinctive, personalized education grounded in hands-on, real-world experience that prepares graduates to be contributing members and leaders in their communities. This message is sponsored by APU. The Older Persons Action Group is the publisher of the monthly Senior Voice newspaper and the 2015 Directory for Older Alaskans. To order the directory or learn more, go to seniorvoicealaska.com. This message sponsored by OPAG. If you're ready to quit tobacco, Alaska's Tobacco Quit Line can help with free confidential coaching and support services through the telephone and online. Now introducing Text to Quit, a way to help you use medications correctly, manage urges, and prevent relapse all from your mobile phone. Call 1-800-QUIT now or visit alaskaquitline.com for more information. This message sponsored by Alaska's Tobacco Prevention and Control Program. This program is a production of APRN, which is solely responsible for its content. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of APRN, this station, or its underwriters. Today's program is available online at alaskapublic.org. CD copies are available by calling 550-8400.
This is APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network.